have absolutely no choice.
This is the Sunday morning edition of the adult discussion class at Wings Christian Fellowship. And we welcome everybody. So everybody get your discussion glasses on and be ready to discuss 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because that is what we're going to be talking about today. We're kind of in the second half of it. Is Etta coming back?
She wants to talk to Debbie first.
Oh, okay. Good.
Who's out there?
Etta.
Oh. She's got a lot of herbs showing.
Etta's here?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Here's a little sunshine girl is here. Last week, does anybody remember how far we read?
I thought we went to 11.
11, yeah. So, that caught me before I was ready. So how about Buddy or Brenda read? I want to go back up a little bit, though, to maybe, was it 8? 8, we should start at, because that's where the subject changes. Okay, start from 8 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Well, we just thank you for your word.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for giving us an open heart to receive what you put before us, Father. Let us understand with a simple mind that we are simple, but Lord, you are more than everything. You are the whole world, Father. I don't know, you're the greatest God that there is, Father. I just praise and glorify your holy name. Thank you for this class. Thank you for the people in this class, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That both servants praise and glorify your holy name. And we ask it all in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's see. You said verse 8?
Start with 8.
But instead it is you, yourselves, who wrong and defraud, and that even your own brethren, by so treating them. Do you know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, misled. Neither the impure and immoral, or nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor cheats, swindlers, and thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revelers, and slanders, nor extortionists, and robbers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. And since some of you were once, but you were washed clean, purified by a complete atonement for sin and made free from the guilt of sin. You were consecrated, set apart, hallowed, and you were justified, pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful, good for me to do, expedient and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become a slave of anything or be brought under its power. Food is food is intended for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will finally end the functions of both and bring them to nothing. The body is not intended for sexual immorality, but is intended for the Lord, and the Lord is intended for the body to save, sanctify, and raise it again. And God both raised the Lord to life and will also raise us by his power. Do you not see and know that your bodies are members, bodily parts of the Christ, the Messiah? And I, therefore, to take the parts of Christ and make them parts of a prostitute? Never, never. that you know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her. But two, it is written, shall become one flesh. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun thy immorality and all the sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple, a very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were brought into it with a, you were bought with a price, purchased with a previous and paid for, made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body.
Amen.
Where was that? I mean, what verse did you go through?
The end.
That's the end.
The end?
I went from 8 to 20.
Okay. You know, it always... When the Bible talks about sex, it always kind of throws me off because it seems like in our normal day and age, anything having to do with it is so built up. And I mean, it is the absolutely worst thing, and it's the only thing anybody thinks about or talks about, and not the only thing, but as far as sex goes, you know, it's the most lascivious sex that you can do. I mean, how does it compare to telling a lie or even murdering somebody? You know, oh my gosh, you know, sexual perversion. And it seems like it's always on people's minds as the most, you know, awfulest thing that you can do. And yet, as part of the process of becoming a full-grown son of God, we all have to be tested in many ways. And that's as far as I'm going to go. But I got to thinking about why is it like that? And you know what, in my mind, in my heart, what it is he who is joined to God is one. And when you join yourself, and that's exactly what sex is, it's two becoming one. And when you do that, you're joining yourself to something other than God. So it is idolatry in its most visible way. You know what I mean? So with those things being said, does anybody have anything they want to say? Don't leave me hanging here, God.
When it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Yes.
I like what Oxford references a lot. It's not only Christ mm-hmm. in you, but you in Christ. Mm-hmm. That alone should show you there's more than just an occasional acquaintance. Mm-hmm. Because, God purposed everything to do, that it work out everything for our benefit. And what more could our benefit be than to have the Spirit of God rest within us, and we wrestle not no more. But, you know, we come to a place to where I think we just have to keep on acknowledging it. You know, we don't have to wait. I mean, too many people wait for an opportunity. Well, you got breath? I'm not trying to be hard, but if you got breath, you have an opportunity. You know, and the Bible does say he's the God of the living. Now, when we are joined with the Lord as one spirit, why don't we just say that? Because it's what spirit? Spirit's life. We're one life together. We ultimately have not a visitation, but we've been redeemed by that. I mean, we have actually been saved by that blood. And I think that's a tremendous word that God gives us. You know, like I said, it says, don't go into law in pagan courts. That's the title of how that goes up to 11. I mean, that's what it's saying. It says, Have you forgotten that the kingdom of God will never belong to the wicked?
What are you reading on?
That's J.B. Phillips.
Yeah.
It says, don't be under any illusion, neither the impure nor the adulterer or the adulterers, neither the...
effeminate.
The pervert.
Effeminate.
And or the perverted or the thief, neither the swindler or the drunken or the foul mouth or the...
rapacious.
Shall have any share in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how much of those I qualify for that I just read.
Exactly.
But the whole thing is, none of that consumes me. I try to stay on the mind of Christ. What he's already accomplished. What's it say? I was reading this the other day. God's word be true. How many are a liar? How many men are liars? All. So here's one that's a liar. The accuser of the brethren's a liar. I mean, do we know who the accuser of brother is? Sure. But the accuser of the brother was never intended to promote Christ in us. But Christ in us is intended to do that. Well, anyway, I'll shut up.
Let me read. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Jesus said he did only what his Father did. So I believe in situations, circumstances, those we come in contact with, it's for us to know what the Father would do. And in our union with him and us, and us and him, many times we have questions because we listen to this that is not doing what the Father, you know, our natural mind. And I believe that many times we see somebody and what we're ready to jump in to give them advice or to help them when we really need to look to God in each situation, circumstance, person we come in contact with, to really let God be through us, ministering to and as he would be.
Something wonderful happens when you realize that you are in the world but not of the world. And so, therefore, you stop accusing yourself. So, I wanted to read this 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. That was when I asked you what you're reading that out of. That was that one that says, all these different versions tell, if you read all the different versions, it's so neat to hear it. In the King James, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Okay? I'm just going to stop there. Be not deceived. Now, the Mirror Bible says, I think this is good, to live out of sync with one another does not mirror your participation as fellow heirs in God's kingdom. This entire business of abusing people is foreign to our design and does not become you. Okay? And then in the Passion, it says, surely you must know that people who practice evil cannot possess God's kingdom realm. Stop being deceived. And that word says, or make no mistake. And then I do want to read this one word, because it says, people who continue to engage in sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, sexual perversion. And on sexual perversion, it says, the footnote says, catamites, which I don't know the meaning of the words, or pederasts, I would imagine something like a pedophile, or child molesters. I mean, I think that is something very, very serious. But it is someone who continues to practice these things. And as you continue to practice these things, you become joined with them. You become one with them, rather than being joined to God and to God's kingdom. I don't think it's something if you do so, if you... I don't want to say if you do something once. You know what I mean? This is something that has to be an ongoing way of life. And even then, I don't know, I don't begin to try to understand God's final judgment on those acts and those people. I don't stand in that place.
Well, in his eyes, sin is sin, falling short. And there's a big, I believe no big sin, little sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at different people that do horrible things like that, think they're so terrible, but I believe God looks at all of us the same. No, he does not accept what they are doing and
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't look at it like we do. He doesn't.
And is there more to evil doing people in eternity? Is there more? Do they have the same chance?
I believe anybody that has breath has a chance to repent, and that's the only way ways can be changed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
I mean,
man makes it that if you die in that sin and that, then that's, but it's, and like it's too late. There's no being reconciled to God or what.
Well, after that's man's.
Huh? After death, is that?
Yeah, but I mean,
man,
that's we
man's
say
word.
That.
That's
man's. But I don't believe.
No, I don't believe that.
That's exactly what
I don't teach that
at.
Either at graduation ceremonies. I've had people come up to me who was her ex-son-in-law. She wasn't a bit more, she didn't a bit more know God or as her Savior or whatever. I said, well, I said, this is the way I look at it. I said, the Bible says, the Bible, Jesus Christ, is between her and Jesus Christ. You and me ain't in between her and Jesus Christ. I said, so she has the opportunity to call on his name without you and me ever knowing it. But the Bible says he would that none would perish. I mean, we either believe the truth, because I don't believe in half believing it. You believe it all, or you don't believe any of it. Because you can't pick. We're of this world. We might not, we're in it, but we're not of it. The Bible in you says, give them mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what it says. His whole word that he gave was to reconcile. So what did he do? He gave that word to us.
Mm-hmm.
So why? So we could go do it. We could give that word.
Well, you know, Brenda said that man's way says that after death they cannot be reconciled to God. But God says he has reconciled the world to himself.
Well,
so one is here and one is there.
Well, that's kind of funny because Christ went to die and ended death, or Hades, or wherever you want to say, to set all men, all captivity free. So if he's done that, that was once and for all good for all men.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his blood was shed for all men.
That's right.
And like I said, it's not up to us to judge the interference things. God works everything after his own counsel. I believe that. But I also believe that his people need to get under the place to where, God, I don't really need to know what your will in this, but I'll praise you for having your will in it. See, a lot of times we wait for the answer, and we used to sing a song, the answer's on the way, this I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, makes it so. Amen? Ain't that right? I mean.
But you have people, too, that come up. I've been in services because there's a lot of my written eulogies that I read over person, you know, and all this. I'm so glad they came to know the Lord and you know, before they, and even if they didn't, you don't know anything about what's going on between them and God. But I had some people come up to say that to me, you know, before the service or after the service. Or, and if they had not, they said, oh Lord, that they, you know, act like that they're lost, don't know what's really going to go or what's going to, you know, this is in their conversation. When you don't know, and God has already, like you said, died for, rose all mankind.
For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. Now that us is not sitting in this room right now. Us is listening to this class over the airwaves right now. He died for you while you were a sinner. Now I'm not sure. I can raise my hand. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that that is used for a scare tactic. Like I was in a church and it was brought up, well, you better get saved because you don't know if you're going to die on the way home. You know? And I think a lot of people get saved to escape hell.
Yes.
That's their major motivation. And probably is inspired by preachers.
Yeah, I had a real good friend of mine at work one time tell me, he said, you know, I didn't know if I'd know Jesus Christ if I wasn't afraid of going to hell. We talking about something working on you. That started working on me immediately. I'm going like it, really, because, and I'm being honest with you, that never even entered in my mind when I accepted the Lord. The only thing that was in my mind was, I got a list here. And I need to repent of all this list. And I mean, and I told my mom, I said, I didn't believe I repented on stuff I wasn't sure of. I wouldn't take no chance. You know, because I didn't want, but what about this? And what about that? That ain't what Jesus does anyway. That's what the accuser does. What about this? What about that? Well, I want to tell you something. What about Jesus? He conquered death. He conquered sin. And he did all that for us. You know, if you live in him, I believe you're going to, if you fall in him, you're going to rise in him. But I want to tell you, I think the word's true. And I don't care less about people's opinion of what they feel about the person. What's this person in here? What's Christ in here feel about it? Well, he feels about restored, restored. It says if we sleep in him, let's see, those that are absent of body is present with who?
Present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, is that word true?
Amen.
If I don't hear it from you, I probably won't hear it. But I mean, is that word true?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello, rocks.
Well, that's amen. That's right. I mean, you know, when I was reading the other day just a little verse where it says that he commanded the disciples to feed the people. Well, that wasn't the way that their thinking thought. They thought they ought to take them into town and feed them. But that was their limitation, and that was the word I was reading. But God don't have the same limitations we have. Matter of fact, I can tell you, he don't even bring them up.
Well, if God commanded them to feed the people, he made it possible for them to feed them.
Well, then even with the, what was it, three loaves and two fishes?
Something.
Well, anyway, he said,
5 loaves and 2 fish.
Okay, well, he said, well, when he told them to do that, when they acted upon it, it happened. Mm-hmm. When they acted upon it.
And they had leftovers.
Oh, yeah. They had as much as they started with.
They said 5,000 men, but look at the women and the children and that, from that he broke.
How much left over did he have? Do you remember? 12 baskets. 12 is the number for governmental perfection. So literally what he was saying there is that and when he put the fishes and the loaves in their hands, not in his hands,
right,
in their hands. And he said, now go and dispense it. Well, literally what he was saying is that when I put it in your hand and you dispense it, what it's ultimately going to bring about is governmental perfection.
Right.
You know, it's going to bring the government of, will become the kingdom of our Lord, it's going to become the kingdom of his Christ.
Yes.
You know, you're that Christ. You, you know, that that sounds like heresy when you say it, but as he is in this world, so are we.
Amen.
And if you're a part of the body of Christ, when you do something that the Lord directs you to do, it is Christ doing it. It's not necessarily you in that sense, but it is you, but it's not you too. It's God doing it through you, you know. But, you know, 12, yeah, it was 12 loaves. And we, you know, we just talked about that a few weeks ago, about the number 12, the significance of it, you know, when we talked about the 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was 12,000 of each one of those names, of those characters, those natures.
Mm-hmm.
It was talking about a governmental perfection. 12 is governmental perfection. And 1,000 was really the divine completeness, the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is going to happen as we grow up into those, the perfection of each one of those characters, you know, those natures, you know, that we have to be changed in each one of those things, and we will be, you know. And then what did he say? Hurt not the earth until I've sealed my servants in their forehead. Why does he have to seal you in his forehead? Because he's sealing you, he's giving you the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Or you only do that which you see your father do, and you only do that which you hear, say that which you hear your father speak, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of, all this stuff all fits together.
It all comes together.
And, but, you know, I had somebody say to me one time, I had a minister call me up and say, Brother Oscar, do you guys teach total reconciliation? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, he says, did Brother Eddie teach that? I said, well, yeah. he says, well, I didn't know that. And he says, well, you know, if God's going to reconcile or has reconciled everybody, he says, then why am I out preaching? Why am I out, you know, being a, whatever you call it, I guess a missionary or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I out being a missionary? I said, because he gives you a word of reconciliation to tell people that Christ has already reconciled them, and the sooner they get reconciled to that ideal, the sooner that their life will begin to change. They won't have to go through all of the things that they go through. They won't have to go through all the doubts and all the things that normal people tend to go through as much. You know, you still go through some of it, but you know, and I had a smile because I told him, I said, this particular minister, I told him, I said, I'd be glad, brother, to sit down with you and we'll open up the scriptures and we'll go in and look at it. And I said, I'll be more than glad to do that. I never heard from him again after that. But he didn't want to look into it because it would change his doctrines about sending people to hell if they don't receive Jesus Christ now. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses. Now, if he was, if either he did it or he didn't do it, that's what I told him. I said, either he did it or he didn't do it. I said, now, the word declares that he did it. He was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So either they've been reconciled or they haven't. Now, the thing is, they're reconciled, but they don't know it. And that's like, if you take two people and one is and you have a, let's say you have a disagreement, okay? And then on your part, you totally forgive that other person to where you're not in disagreement with them anymore. And yet they stay in disagreement with you. There's really no argument there. They think there's an argument, but there really isn't because you're not in disagreement with them anymore. You're not mad at them anymore. And that's the thing, you know, that's what one of the things I used to say when we'd go on the radio. Mike probably heard me say this a lot. God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. And that doesn't mean that you're perfect or that you've come to the fullness of everything God wants you to be, because it's a process there. But he's getting you there. He'll get you there. And, you know, it just really upsets people, the notion that people aren't going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever when you talk to them about that. And I mean, that paper I passed out to you all about the lake of fire. Well, if hell is eternal, why does it get cast into the lake of fire? You know?
Doesn't make sense.
What's the necessity of that? It's eternal. Why would you care? Hell and death were cast into that. And then when you study into all that really means, it means a whole lot different than what people have put it out there to mean, you know. But, you know.
It's so simple, actually. The gospel is so simple.
The one thing about it is this, and we still struggle in this area. You know, in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about the law, and he talks about that which I would do, I don't do. And that which I wouldn't do,
I do.
Yeah. And he said, but it's not really me doing that. It's the nature, the nature of sin that's within me, who causes me to do things that I really shouldn't do, you know. And he goes on at the very end, and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this thing?
Thank God,
Jesus Christ. And it all revolves back around grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And buddy, without that, we're all in trouble. There ain't a one of us righteous. Mm-hmm. There ain't a one of us good. Mm-hmm. There ain't a one of us that is fulfilling everything God wants us to do. You know, I've seen ministers that I actually admire their word that God gives them, but I've also seen things in them that I don't admire. You know, and I've heard them say things that I don't admire, and we're all like that. We fall short of the glory of God.
Yes,
when we get out of the glory of God. And the sad thing about it is right now, at times we go in and out. You know, there's coming a day where we're going to go in and stay in. And thank God that's coming. And I look forward to that day. And anybody that says they're totally in there right now, I'm sorry, I don't believe you. You know what I mean. You're in there as far as Christ is concerned, but not as far as you're concerned yet. You know, this is a process, and it's a time thing there. But that's why we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We have to begin to profess what His Word declares, even when we don't see it, and let it until it comes into being. You know,
that's right.
I don't mean to get off on a
You know, that's why in Romans, the 8th chapter, the very first verse, it says, and people just, I'm just going to put it out there how it is. There is therefore now no condemnation. They love to say that, but they need to say the rest. It says, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what they're admitting is, it's no longer I that liveth, but the Spirit of God, which is life anyway. That's life. But after life. I mean, you replace spirit with life because that's what it is. No condemnation. My brother, we had him, I don't know how long we had him, but anyway, before he graduated, he stood up in his room, smiled at me. That's what you smile about. And he quoted this scripture to me because I had been quoting it to him for about 2 weeks. And he said, I'm free. He said, I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's what the Word of God inside of you does to you. It sets you free. There's no greater thing that man could ever do other than let the Spirit of God lead him and guide him in the all truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's also a scripture, I believe, that says that no flesh will be justified.
Yeah.
The fleshly nature is never going to be justified. That thing is going to have to die, you know, and we're to reckon it to be dead, but it crops its ugly head up every so often, in all of us at times. But yet, you know, that's where this Romans, the 7th chapter, comes in about, you know, that which I would not do, I seem like I do, and that which I, and when it says there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, when we find ourselves in a place of condemning other people, guess what? You know what we're walking in right then?
Mm-hmm.
The flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's no condemnation, we can't heap condemnation on other people. You know, we need to heap forgiveness on them and heap mercy, you know, mercy on them. If you know, and when we become that, I believe we will have totally become that. We will have moved into that Melchizedek priesthood order, where we're a order of blessing. Bless and curse not, we're told to do, you know. So when we find ourselves cursing something else, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, please help us get past this thing, you know. That's that old nature, you know. That thing we read last week, you know, while I trust in myself, I'm just as capable of falling into error and, you know, being snared by lust of the flesh. And bitter been my disappointment in many men I deemed worthy of trust, but bitter of gall in my disappointment in myself. And when it comes back to self, a lot of times, you start judging someone else or putting someone else in a bad situation, and you watch and see if God don't, almost within a week or a few days or sometimes shortly thereafter, he'll bring you right back to that thing, and he'll let you know, hey, look what you're doing right now. Take a good look at yourself. What's happening here? You know. Boy, I tell you what, it'll humble you. It'll humble you fast, you know.
In Philippians chapter 2, I was just reading it, and it really fits in pretty well there. Start with 5. It's all so good. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, he was in the form of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found, isn't it kind of what's happened to us? We're made lower, a little lower. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. This is the one that gets me. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess.
Well, can I ask you a question? What you read under the earth? What's under the earth? Isn't that the people that are dead?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
true.
You know, they're under the earth. They've been buried. They're dead.
Right.
You know, in that sense.
Yes.
So read the rest of it.
That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And
what was there? There was what, 3 realms there, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Above, on, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth.
3 things. That's what I'm going to talk to you about today.
Oh, my goodness.
When we talk about under the earth, you're speaking of what then? Are you talking of that?
Well,
yeah,
if you look at it in the natural, if you look at it in the natural, the heaven, on the earth, we're on the earth right now, who's under the earth?
That body.
The body that died. That's right.
That body.
That body that died.
Everyone.
Well, yeah, but in the natural, it is you. If you talk to the natural people out there, what are they going to say?
Mm-hmm.
They go and visit grandma, at the graveyard. Mm-hmm. Well, technically grandma's not really at the graveyard, spiritually speaking, but grandma's what?
Body
is there in the natural when you talk on the now that on that realm there, see? She's under the earth, you know. So, you know, when you look at it like that, then it's basically saying that every tongue is going to confess, even in those three different realms, see? And that would bring about total reconciliation. Because if what Christianity's teaching out there a lot of times, once you die and you put under the ground, that's the end, buddy. You ain't got a hope then. Well, not according to that word right there.
My little nephew, well, he's my great nephew, when my dad had died, and he always went to visit them, was always mm-hmm. taking them things. This is Savannah's mom and dad, Savannah's mother mm-hmm. and uncle.
Yeah.
And they were out at the cemetery looking at the grave marker and all, and they said, that's where Grandpa is. And he said, he was only, what, 3? He said, I thought you said he went to heaven. I thought you said he was in heaven.
Yeah.
And he said, I thought you
he
said
was a kid.
He was in heaven. Now, how was they going to explain? They would have to explain about the body. And the spirit, all this, because God has had me do this with
right,
children
right.
before. Said that.
Right.
These kids had, he saw the picture of, you know, of Christ mm-hmm. in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. and he started laughing. And mm-hmm. they said, this is John, the one that's in the middle, you know, that he's always been God conscious.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's now been diagnosed schizophrenic and has had, but always has had the sweetest spirit. You know, some people you're around, their presence, there's a sweetness at them out, and some aren't. You know that. And he said, he started laughing, and they said, what are you laughing? And he said, I saw Grandpa. He was peeking out behind that rock and looked at me and made me, and he was laughing.
Praise God.
What's that song we used to sing? When I see Jesus, I'll laugh and sing. And that how, or is that how?
Well,
mm-hmm. And I'll tell of his love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sing, dance, and tell the world of his love.
Yes.
Yeah. Till Zion's, is that the one?
Till Zion sees
eye to eye.
We shall, he shall restore love's creation more and show them they don't have to die.
Amen.
Yes.
We shall ascend and while living in him, we're changed till with memories well. I also like this
redeemed, sing
as we dance for the king, till there is not one man in hell.
That's good. And there was another one we used to sing as we go through my mind. Some by the waters, some by the grave. I don't know. You're going to come, however it is.
You know,
yes.
My brother and me have gotten into conversations to where I just flat out told him one day. I said, well, let me just put it to you what I believe is the truth. He said, what's that? I said, the law could not save men. What the law did, it condemned them.
Right.
And as far as the law goes and all those that followed it, they all went to Hades. Okay? Now, for Jesus to be completely triumphant, he had to go beyond the grave into that to get the keys. That's what it says. To get the keys, mm-hmm. and he came up with the keys and set all men, all creation mm-hmm. free.
And you know what the key was? He was.
Yeah, he was the key. He was actually the key.
Because
yeah,
he unlocked all of those. Well, it says that even those from the days of Noah.
Yeah.
You know, that he went
yes.
down and preached to them.
Set them free.
That's really.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, there's going to be some monsters in our world today that are
yeah.
going to be down there. He's going to go down there and set them free, whether we like it or not.
Well, I'll tell you what. I told my brother, because I think it puts it on us. Whomever you put in hell, get ready to go there yourselves to set them free.
Yeah.
Because you are that Word of God. You are the invisible Word of God dwells within you.
So what was the key? Was that when he set men free in Hades, did he open their minds up, change their mind to what they're thinking?
I believe so. I believe that just like it was said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, I believe that they've made that confession on the other side. They will make that confession. Now, whether they've made it already or whether, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things we don't know. I say sometimes I almost trade the things I do know for what I don't know, because there's just so much we don't know. And I don't really mean I trade it, but I'd like to know the stuff I don't know. I don't know why, you know.
Well, you know what? We sang that song, I think it was last week, We Can Only Imagine, or the week before, or whatever. When it comes down to that, could we actually say it's possible for God's mercy not to endure forever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm tricking you here. There's no way we could do that. Because the word declares it shall endure forever. Now, I think whoever was down there, whatever spirit was down there, found mercy in the sight of God. And when they found mercy, they knew to take it.
Can I read 1 Timothy chapter 2? He's talking about praying for all men. And down in verse 4 it says, God will have all men to be saved. Mm-hmm. And to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. And it's like they're putting a time on the greatness of God to me. It's like, you know, who can thwart the will of God if he says, I want all men to be saved?
Right. And he's not willing that any should perish,
right?
But that all should come to repentance. Well, one of the first scriptures that the Lord showed me after I first got saved was in Ephesians, where it says, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and he's not willing that any should perish, guess what? They ain't gonna perish.
Right.
That's right.
Sometimes with people, you gotta say, now look, you explain this to me. You know, if it says he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and then it says he's not willing that any should perish, then are you going to contradict those two scriptures? You have to totally contradict them. Mm-hmm. If you say, well, that person's totally lost for eternity, and what they're saying for eternity is the word aeon, which means an age. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, you know, in the natural, the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. If you go back even scientifically, I like science stuff because it's weird, but I like it. But I've always liked science. It's been real easy for me. You go back and you look at science. What did they say about different times, you know, about mankind? There was a stone age, then there was a bronze age, then there was an iron age, you know, as man was coming along. As soon as one age stopped, there was another age, which was a farther advanced age than the age before. And then even in battles, you know, I don't know about you all, but I know what copper is. If I had a copper spear, I'd much rather have an iron spear than a copper spear. Because if I don't hit you just right with that copper spear and it hits something solid, guess what? That copper's going to bend because it's soft. It's not hard. But if I hit you with an iron spear, guess what? It ain't going to bend. You know, and the advancement of things goes farther and farther. And that's the way it is with God, you know. At the end of one age comes another age, you know. And to be honest with you, I think right now we're moving into the kingdom age, really a revelation of the kingdom age, you know. Because when they asked Jesus, Lord, what will be the signs of the time of your kingdom, coming of your kingdom, basically? What did he say? Oh, there'll be wars, there'll be rumors, and all. But then what did he say? When will it actually come? He said, it doesn't come with observation. Well, what did he say? Kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. what a revelation that was.
Well, I've been wondering how long it'd get back to us. It's a process.
Right.
Everything's a process.
Yeah.
And I mean, every day we live, come on, can't you smile and say, thank you, Jesus, for today?
Yeah.
I mean, we sing songs. The Word declares it. Today is the day that the Lord hath made.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be cold out there, but that's for us to adjust to.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. But you know what? The good thing is, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He changes.
Yep.
God's an awesome God.
Yes, He is.
A little further down in Philippians there, it says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. A little further in chapter 2.
That's simple to do, by the way.
Why do you do that? That you might be harmless and blameless, the son of God, amidst a crooked and perverse nation, to whom you shine forth as lights in the world.
Mm.
Wow, what a tremendous word.
There's no longer us again.
Okay.
Who would like to close in prayer? Mikey, would you?
Father, thank you for another day to hear your word today, Father. And to understand that we are saved, mm-hmm. Father. By your grace. Father, just thank you again and open our eyes at this service today and let us hear what Brother Oscar has to say. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.